This past week, Kentucky U.S. Senator Rand Paul officially launched his campaign for the 2016 Republican presidential nomination. As is customary, Rand shared the stage with members of his family, including, of course, his father, Ron Paul. What surprised some is how Ron Paul wasn't given an opportunity to speak at that event. Having been a veteran presidential candidate with a popularity base in some demographics, there were people who would think the dad's an asset for Rand. My next guest is here to counter that belief in a few ways. He's a senior political correspondent for Politico, Glenn Thrush. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning.
And, of course, it's Politico.com on the web to read Glenn's work and the other journalists at Politico. Were you surprised at the event that Daddy Ron wasn't given a chance to say a few words?
No, I wasn't. In fact, my reporting a couple of days earlier, probably 5 days before the announcement, I asked Rand Paul's people if Ron Paul was even going to come, and they couldn't tell me yes, affirmatively. And then about 48 hours before the actual event, they informed me that Ron Paul was scheduled to make a big speech, a paid speech, at the University of Minnesota, and that the campaign had to shell out its own money to pay for a charter to bring him back. So, you know, there is a clear separation, a public division between Rand and his father, and I think it works both ways.
Do you think they want the association, but they don't want a connection?
I think you nailed it. That's a perfect way to put it. I think they are both dependent upon one another. Ron Paul is the godfather of the libertarian movement. He's a wonderful grassroots fundraiser, and he has an extremely devoted following. Rand Paul is attempting to move beyond that base, capitalize on younger voters. So there is an attempt to sort of link the two with one another, without necessarily putting them in the same frame. They want to hold hands. They don't want to hug.
Now, as far as who Rand can reach as far as Ron's voting base is concerned, is he going to be able to grab everyone? Is he too light as libertarian and too conservative for some? You know, how does he fit in with Ron Paul's demographic?
Well, look, you know, Rand Paul has differentiated himself from his father on foreign policy. For instance, on the Ukraine, Rand Paul has been very harsh in his rhetoric against Vladimir Putin, has said that we need to enact sanctions, has even suggested, and Rand Paul is a libertarian and non-interventionist, suggested that there be the potential for military action up the road. Ron Paul couldn't be any different. In fact, he's a frequent guest on Vladimir Putin-controlled Russian television. And when he goes on there, he warns the United States against adventurism. So I think that is the clearest point of distinction between the two of them. On things like the IRS, both of them want to abolish it. The Fed, both of them want to audit it. Taxes, both of them want to lower it. I think they're pretty much in line.
How much material does Rand give? Well, at least his only current right now, but obviously there'll be others, opponents on the GOP side. For example, immigration, he wants the party to get off, I think he called it the fixation of amnesty. He's backed legislation, sought to ban abortion, but he said U.S. public opinion's too divided to change federal abortion laws. He denounced the war on coal, but then he supports some coal regulation. He seems like he's at least up until now as a U.S. senator, he's trying to play to too wide of an audience.
Yeah, I don't know if it's too wide of an audience, but he's definitely trying to have it both ways. You know, another way to sort of put that is he's trying to find the center of the Republican Party. And as we know, Chris Christie in New Jersey, who's going to reboot his campaign in a couple of weeks, feels exactly the same way. You know, he's trying to thread a needle. The problem is, and this is a problem for every single candidate in the Republican primary, you've got to run as far to the right as possible to have a chance. If you look at the first four primaries, Iowa, extraordinarily conservative electorate. New Hampshire, a little less so. I would say Jeb Bush probably has an advantage in New Hampshire. Then you look at South Carolina, which is even more conservative than Iowa. And then you have a whole string of more conservative primaries before you get to Florida. So you got to run to the right. And if the perception is that Rand isn't pure enough, Ted Cruz or someone like him, or Mike Huckabee, who the darling of the evangelicals, if he chooses to run, they're going to get Rand Paul votes.
So, Glenn Thrush, who was senior political correspondent for Politico, Politico.com on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. Didn't Rand lend a hand to the Romney campaign in Iowa back in 2012?
He did, yeah, he did. And that, what was really interesting about that was a Ralph Rochemont, because his father, people forget, his father came in third numerically in the Iowa caucuses. But eventually, Ron Paul's people were able to really wrestle the Iowa caucuses away from Romney and Rick Santorum on procedural grounds. So to sort of make things up, to sort of get the family back in the mainstream of the Republican Party, Rand Paul worked pretty hard for Mitt Romney. Didn't really help, but he worked really hard.
I've seen some people, either through conspiracy or through jigsaw puzzle assembly, come to the belief that this isn't a spur of the moment or a recent decision by Rand. He almost did an Obama. Almost as soon as Rand Paul was in the Senate, he started formulating a structure to do what he just did this past week.
Yeah, there's no question that there's been sort of a design here. But look, his father did something really similar. His father was elected, I think, to the Congress in the early 1980s, and he was running as a Libertarian candidate for president by 1988. That's the thing about kind of the Libertarian movement, is it's dispersed widely enough nationally that you can, you know, you can't get huge numbers, but you can get numbers throughout the states. And I think the other thing about it was 2010 was such a watershed year for Republicans in general, and Rand was really the star of that entire Tea Party wave. And, you know, he's had a bumpy rollout, had some tough interviews with some reporters, including my friend Savannah Guthrie on NBC. But the base loves that stuff, and he's got some fight to him. And the other thing about him is he's a very unconventional, interesting candidate. You know, for instance, he's one of the few Republicans, Paul Ryan being another one, who spends a significant amount of time in African-American communities talking about issues like drug sentencing reform. And he's one of the few Republicans running this year, perhaps the only one, that has spoken out against denying felons the right to reapply for voting rights. So, you know, Rand Paul, from sort of a reporting perspective, Rand Paul is just about as interesting as it gets.
So what does he do with Dad to make it look like he's not trying to be mean to Dad? You know, elder abuse, I guess we'd call it political elder abuse, maybe in this case.
Well, I put it another way. I think Ron Paul is not especially eager to jump into Rand's race. You know, some people I spoke with on my story, which ran on Politico.com, told me that they believe that there's some tension there, that Rand Paul has a succession plan, which is to sort of move libertarians into the Republican mainstream, to enshrine it as part of the party's platform. I don't think Ron Paul is necessarily down with that succession plan. And, you know, he's got his own life. This is a guy who still makes hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, perhaps millions, we don't know, off of speeches and appearances. And as we saw with the kickoff announcement, when he barely was able to show up, he seems intent on pursuing his own agenda and his own schedule. So I don't think this is just an issue of Rand Paul distancing himself from Ron. I think it's vice versa. The one exception I would say is Rand Paul really needs to have a strong showing in Iowa to have anything resembling a campaign. And he'll need Ron Paul campaigning for him in Iowa to do that.
And maybe even before that, Rand Paul has to firmly ID himself to potential voters before the race gets too crowded and he gets lost.
Yeah, I mean that is always the problem. You know, he does have sort of a unique profile in the Republican Party. The problem is we are talking in the 10 to 20%, 15% range. The question is, can he really kind of get above the 20 to 25% that you need to really become a competitive candidate?
And regarding the data issue, Glenn wrote about this, as he mentioned, the April 6th dateline for Politico. And the article is Rand Paul has a data issue. A few of the points and some of the potential potholes that Dad could provide to work against the Sun if the other GOP opponents choose to use that as ammo. And that's always fearful, but nevertheless inevitable. Wait and see when it comes to the world of politics. And to follow along with the world of politics, get to the inside story and expand your knowledge on some of the inside baseball stuff. That's why Politico was here, politico.com. I'm joined this morning by the senior political correspondent, Glenn Thrush. Glenn, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you.